T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Fanuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
He does have the facts to back up his opinion. That's why we get Paul on the show, by the way. Well, we're kind of told to get Paul on. His appearance brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you doing?
I'm well. How's life?
Hanging in there. Thank you for asking. At least the weather's nice, though. So, you know, and the Mets are in first place. Paul, this whole thing, this Eichel guy, so we wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. Now, Elliot, let me set up everybody with this quick little recap. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, instigators yesterday said the Sabres want to move on from Jack Eichel, thinks the trade will be done by the draft. You have maintained for a little while now, and when you've been on with us, the Sabres want to move on from Eichel too, correct?
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that when I was, both when I filled in for you and filled in for Jeremy, We were chatting about that especially most recently when Adams was talking after, you know, the rehab period, and he had said, well, I haven't gotten together with Jack yet, we haven't spoken yet, but I want to make sure you understand that we haven't changed our position, our doctors still haven't changed their position, that they're still not comfortable with the surgery. And it's like almost like, well, yeah, why would they be? I mean, it's not like all of a sudden the surgery is going to change or become safer just because 10 weeks have gone by or anything like that. And, you know, it was very obvious then that the Sabres are moving on, and that, you know, it's pretty much Adam's decision that, you know, he you knew then that he had decided that you know, they're going to have to move on, that they're not changing their mind, and Eichel's not changing his mind. And also, when we were talking to Adams after the season, when I asked Adams, you know, hey, look, you know, everybody keeps asking if Jack's asked to be traded, are you guys looking to trade Jack? And he said, well, you know, he went on and on, and he easily just could have said, no, we're not looking to trade him, and just put it to rest. And that's not how he answered the question. You know, that's when he went into that we want people that want to be here, and you know, went forward, and, you know, Jack and Sam don't want to be here. So it became rather obvious that, you know, the Sabres want to move on from him, and, you know, that's what I think is going to happen.
Quick aside here, Paul, we'll get right back to Eichel, but we found out this morning, did you know there's an East Seneca? Because someone tweeted in a picture of the East Seneca Volunteer Fire Company with East Seneca ambulances. Did you know there was an East Seneca?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me? I mean, you fill my head with lots of frivolous material. Why didn't you tell me there was an East Seneca at some point? All right, this is news to me.
It just never came up.
No, I guess it wouldn't, yeah.
Paul, I got a question to follow up regarding Kevin Adams and what he's doing going forward. You know, he also said in his press conference, one or two or three press conferences ago, like, we got to do everything better. We've got to do this, do that. And, you know, for Eichel and Reinhart to both want out, and maybe Ristolainen want out, to see all these players that have wanted to be traded, and it's not even just these two. You go back the last couple of years, guys want out of here. As part of Kevin Adams' job, do you think he will do what it takes to figure out why that all happened? Like, what needs to change for him, right, for the job he has, for management all the way up? Will there be, like, sometimes it's a come-to-Jesus moment is what people will say. Will the Sabres do any sort of soul-searching of how did this all happen?
Oh, absolutely. I think they've already done that. I think that with him, knowing Kevin, that's probably one of the first things he did is, you know, how are we going to change the, quote, culture, you know, the good old buzzword there. to make it that, you know, this is going to be a desirable place. This is going to be a place where people want to be at. And this is going to be a place where, you know, it's we're going to be a franchise that is in the playoffs, not just makes the playoffs, but a contending type franchise. And that's one of the ways to do it. I mean, I don't think all these players would be souring on the Sabres if they were knocking on the door of being a really good team. You know, if they had improved this year and went right down to the wire, maybe didn't necessarily get in the playoffs, but were in the conversation and, you know, missed it by a couple of points and showed a lot of improvement, I think we'd all be having probably a different conversation. And in Jack's case, we'll never know. I mean, I don't think Jack is ever going to say one way or the other, but, you know, quite frankly, I think he made this decision long before he even hurt his neck. You know, when they're dead in the water and they're not even a month into the season, you know, after what he said last year, you know, he didn't ask to be traded last year, but he made it pretty clear that the losing had gotten to him and, you know, things had to change. Well, yeah, they changed, but they changed for the worse. I mean, things got worse, not better. I mean, they were the worst team in the league by far. And, you know, it was crazy. They went in a month in and they were eliminated. And, you know, he wants to be somewhere where, you know, he can make the playoffs and do, you know, play in the postseason. And so to me, I would think he, right then and there, he'd say, you know what, this just isn't working. This isn't going anywhere. And you know, and wanted to move on.
You know, Paul, as we talk about part of this, the disconnect that the organization feels it has with its fans, I'm hearing you say what Eichel made clear to the Sabres, and he'll be moved, and I'm not taking his side here at all. What I am saying is that's what the owners should say to the fans. Right? Like, that's what fans want. If the organization's wondering why the disconnect with fans, ownership and management should be out there saying, out of it, a month into the season is unacceptable. And when there are things happening on the ice that are clearly unacceptable, fans want to know that the organization feels that way. And, you know, for most of Eichel's tenure here, the organization has been very slow and late to do that. And my opinion, that's a big part of the disconnect. Here we have a player, we have multiple players that want out. The players are saying what I think fans want to hear from the team.
Adams was slow. I mean, Adams got there, but it was too late. You know, when he made it to the, well, there's a disconnect between the team and the fans, and made a coaching change. And you see what the coaching change did. I mean, Don Granato came in. He didn't have Eichel. Kruger did. He didn't have Ullmark for most of it. Kruger did. He didn't have McCabe. Kruger did. You know, so their best D, their best forward, and their best goaltender, Kruger, had those guys and wound up where he wound up in the standings. Granato didn't have those guys and did much better. You know, just showing what you can do with a better coach. But again, it was way, way too little too late, realizing that, you know, things are bad. And Jeremy, I've been at this longer than you have in this town. And for me, and I've said this before, I think we talked about this when I was in with you a couple of weeks ago, that I have never seen a more hated Buffalo team than this hockey team is in this town, whether it's the Bills, the Sabres. And don't forget, the Bills didn't make the playoffs for 17 years. And I still did not see a team as hated as much as this team is by the fans. The fans despise this team. And they've got work to do.
Yeah.
And Adams, I think, realizes it now, and he said it a couple times, that, you know, that's where he feels the disconnect is. It's between the team and its fans, and it's his job to fix that. And he needs to fix that. And he's right, he needs to fix that. Yep. And he needs to, you know, get a team together that this community is proud of, that this community wants to go see. And right now, there's not too many people that are proud of the Buffalo Sabres that live in Buffalo.
They don't. It's right. It's funny though, Paul. One of the things that's that's strangely come out of this, though, is there is one popular person in the organization, not quite universally, but pretty close, and that's Don Granato. You know, he might keep the job, and I don't think he would get the job because of that, but it certainly doesn't hurt. It's not often, I think, you can hire your interim coach that isn't a proven winner. And, you know, maybe Kruger's hire was popular. Maybe Housley's was too, looking back. Whatever. You know, change is always welcomed. But Granato had some results, and he spoke to the fans, and he said a lot of things that they like. And I guess the question I would have for you is, you know, as Kevin Adams and Jason Carmano start to build this roster, they're going to hire their coach. I think they would do that first. They would name whoever the coach is. And I think Granato's the favorite, looking like it might go that way. So do they start building in the image of a team that he thinks about? Or do Kevin Adams and Jason Carmanos and the Pegulas, do they have this kind of vision? Is this going to be a heavy team, a fast team, a defensive team? Do they want to be the Islanders? Do they want to be Vegas? You know, I just wonder what they envision, because it really is about starting from scratch outside of, you know, Cousins, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, and some other nice pieces. But, you know, how do they do it? Who's in charge of what the final picture looks like? Because they love talking about their vision. And, of course, so far to this point, they haven't really completed anyone.
Exactly. And that's, you're right, they have to get a coach in, and then that's when they start filling in the players around, which I think is a pretty decent core. That's why I don't think this is a complete rebuild, because I think they have a very nice young core to build around. It's not finished. I mean, they've got to build around. They got to do a lot better than they did building around Reinhart and Eichel. You know, in my opinion, people talk about the tank. The tank worked. What the tank was designed to do was to get either McDavid or Eichel, and also, and Reinhart was part of it too, but it wasn't to get Reinhart. It was to get a very high pick in that draft also. You know, knowing, you know, that's the one before Eichel, and they accomplished it and wound up drafting Reinhart, who is a 20-goal scorer every year except one for the Sabres. So it worked for what they were trying to do. They were trying to get some high-end players to be able to build a team around. What failed was they had general managers that had no idea what to do once they got the pieces they needed in Eichel and in Reinhart. And they didn't know what to do with it and how to build around it. Well, that's what the task is now for Adams. It's like, you've got this core of young players that Don Granato has done a nice job of getting the most out of. And now he has to be able to understand who is the coach, how does he want to play? And, you know, that's what Adams and Carmanos want to do. I mean, it seems like they like what Granato's selling as far how he wants to play, which is, you know, take the strengths of your good players, put them all together, then develop a system that play to the strengths. All right, Dahlin, we want you to do this because you're good at it. Jokke Haru, we want you to do this because you're good at this. Mittelstadt, here, we're going to put you in some different situations than you're used to because we think you can handle it by doing this, because you do this well, you do this well. And he tries to develop now a system that augments the good things that each player can bring to the table that way. So, you know, whether it's Granato or, for me, it's either Granato or Brind'Amour. If Brind'Amour becomes available, and now that their season is over, we'll see where that goes. But that's what they have to do is, all right, this guy's going to be the coach. This is what he's going to bring to the table. This is what he expects out of his players. This is what we feel we need to do to help augment the players that they have to make this team better, you know, improving the top six, improving the bottom six, improving the goaltending. But how do you want to do that? How do you want to go about that? And that's, you know, where the coach comes into play.
To the bigger picture, Paul, we limited it to Eichel. Now, you also mentioned Reinhart, and I'll throw in Ristolainen. What are the odds in this offseason all three of them are traded? Are you expecting that?
Probably not. Unless I'm totally off base here, and I don't think I am. Reinhart wants nothing to do with signing a long-term deal in Buffalo. I mean, if that would be the desired thing that you'd want. But if he's not willing to do that, and all he's going to do is accept a qualifying offer and then take off on you after 1 year, his value is never going to be higher than it is right now. He's coming off his very best season by far. And, you know, you have to take advantage of that value. And sometimes, even with good players, it's a smart thing to trade good players when they're at the top of their game. You know, depending what you can get for that good player, you have a good opportunity to improve your team with multiple players by moving that player when he's at his best. Well, if that player doesn't want to be here and that player is just going to hang out for one more year and then next thing you know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent and go, well, I think his value's more now than it would be if you wait into next season and try to trade him at the trade deadline. To be quite honest with you, I think you probably can do better in the trade if you do it in the summertime. So, you know, that's where I would be at with him. You know, if he's absolutely adamant that no, I'm not signing anything more than a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
Well, your job has just been made for you.
I agree.
Do it.
I think he's a goner. What about Ristolainen? Same. He's in that kind of the, well, he's not an RFA. He's got 1 year left, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. We've talked about leaving him exposed for the expansion draft. So what happens with Ristolainen?
Ristolainen is open to being a Sabre. Ristolainen is open to being on a playoff team. I think he was very candid in his comments. It's like, I need to make the playoffs next year. Whether it's here or someplace else, I need to make the playoffs. Unlike Reinhart, he's got nothing against Buffalo, or he actually likes the city and likes being here, and he just wants to. He's tired of the losing. I don't blame him. I don't blame any of them. I don't begrudge any of them that they want to win, and the losing has just been disgustingly bad here, and it just keeps happening, and I don't blame any of them for that. So, you know, he's in the same type of a situation where, you know what? If you want me to finish my contract, I'll finish my contract, which is one more year. If you want to trade me, go ahead and trade me. Whatever you'd like to do is fine. I'm good with it. But in Ristolainen's case, if you came out and had a good season and somehow or other made the playoffs, you know, I think he would change his tune, and I think he would be fine in staying here.
See, I would leave him exposed for the expansion draft, protect Dahlin, Jokiharju, and Borgen. And if I'm going to leave him exposed, and I don't know that Seattle would take him anyway, but I'm not giving him another contract either here, so I would move him with 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, and that's the – I would move him. Other than leaving him exposed, he wouldn't be here to be exposed.
Yeah,
I would just
trade him before,
you know,
that. Yeah.
Unless you can't move him, you know, unless you really can't trade for him. And a lot of people think – you know, he's going to get you some bonanza. I'm not one of them. I mean, when Brian Burke was with Calgary, he's readily admitted, well, we had a trade. It was done. He was going to the Flames. And the analytics department knocked on Brian Burke's door and say, excuse me, what are you doing? You know, and
pulling off a great deal.
And he called the Sabres after talking to the analytics department and said, the deal's off. That came from Brian Burke. And that was a number of years ago. It's been a few years since he's been with the Flames. You know, so he had his best year, especially when McCabe was playing, you know, where the two of them really, really played well together. If he wants to play like that, I have no problem with him being a Sabre and continuing as a Sabre. You know, if the two of them want to play like they did in the beginning of the season, I mean, they were two that overcame Kruger, you know, and played really well together before McCabe got injured. And then, you know, things, we all know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, can he continue to do that? You know, that would remain to be seen. Would I want to take a chance on that? I'd be looking to move him. Definitely.
Sherrod, would you care, before we let you go there, Mr. Hamilton, would you share to care a quick thought or two on the final two matchups in the Stanley Cup playoffs since they're set?
Maybe I'm being silly. I don't think Montreal has any chance to even win.
You're not being silly. What was the word, Jeremy, you used? Steamroll?
I said multiple times, I think Vegas is going to steamroll Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah. As well as Carey Price is playing, this is Vegas. And they're
Montreal.
They're just so good. You know, they can come at you from every which way. And, you know, you want to learn how to build a bottom six? Go look at Vegas. You want to learn how to build a top six? Go look at Vegas. You know, they know what they're doing there, and they know how to build a team. Now, I love watching their team play. I can watch their team play all day long. I despise their uniforms. I really don't like them at all.
All right.
But I like watching their team play. There's nothing about those uniforms I like at all. Between the gloves and the gray and the gold.
What about the gold helmets? No. Shiny gold helmets. All right, I like those.
Shiny gold helmets belong at Notre Dame. I like it.
I like those Notre Dame helmets. All right. But, and the other matchup, Islanders-Tampa?
Yeah, that's a good one. I still think Tampa, I told you all along that Tampa just basically hung out in the regular season and
violated the cap rule. Well, they didn't
violate anything. They showed the NHL that they have work to do in sewing up the cap rules a little bit.
Right.
And you know, they were within their rights to do what they did, which was pretty silly, but whatever. Yeah. But you know, I think Tampa's just too good, and you know, the Islanders last year played in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's where it ended, and I think that's where it'll end in this one too. But, you know, I think that at least will be a series. You know, I don't think Tampa's sweeping that. I'd be very surprised if they did. But, yeah, I can't see Montreal winning a game.
All right. Well, always nice to chat with you, Mr. Hamilton. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Yes. Yes, good to talk to you guys.
All right, Paul. Have a nice
golf
weekend.
Went well, Mr. White?
Oh, it was great, Paul.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, if you ever
see me. I
saw
some of the photos. It looked good.
Yeah, if you ever see me out, and this is not just for you, Paul, anybody, ask me about the golf. I'll just talk about the golf all the time. And when I'm not talking about the golf, I'm thinking, I should be talking about the golf.
I thought to myself, you know what? I should have gone with you and just caddied or something.
Ooh, it would have been nice.
Speaking of caddying for Jeremy, do you need any caddies, or are you all set?
I think I'm covered for the 100 holes, right. Yeah.
You could caddy for – Paul and I could co-caddy.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm into it.
There you
just
go.
Just watch you two bicker about the Mets for 3 hours and 2 hours.
Paul, you can co-caddy for Jeremy with me during his 100 holes of golf. We get a golf cart. And honestly, you know what? I thought like I'd have to actually do stuff. Jeremy's like, nah, pretty much just sit in the cart, drive it with my clubs. He's picking the club. He's putting the club. I don't have to do anything but just literally drive the cart. So, you know, Jeremy, I'd go with the I'd go with an iron here. No, I just sit
Which
there.
Which iron?
Are they numbered? 5, 4, 7.
Jeremy would be like 80
Two.
Yards away, sitting there looking for his pitching wedge or
pitching
something.
Pitching wedge, that's it. I should have said pitching wedge. I knew.
Howard would be handing him his putter.
Yeah, I'm not really good at picking out the clubs things. Every year in the GR golf tournament, I'd always turn to someone in the foursome. All right, what should I play here? Like, it really matters. Like, I don't hit the ball anyway. Like, it really matters what club I take out. Anyway, Jeremy just does all that stuff. You just sit there. So
the
it's really cool.
The thing about the golf tournament is you and I both have matching trophies.
We do?
Yeah, the guy with the cane.
Oh, yeah. The worst. Yes, we do. Yeah, it's still in my basement. I have
it. Yeah, we have matching trophies. That actually is a pretty cool trophy.
It is a cool. That's why I got that's why I
didn't get
rid of it.
I thought it was very well done.
Me too. I liked it, so that's why I didn't get rid of it. All right, P-Ham, thank you as always, sir. Have a nice weekend.
Take care, guys.
Okay, Paul. Paul Segman brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I want to carry a little the little pad, the whatever, the book, that the so I can open it up and make it look like I'm looking at distance and yardage. No, Jeremy, I think it's 125 to that water sprinkler. I want to do that stuff with you. So
you know, water sprinklers are often labeled with yardages themselves.
I don't care. I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about. You're not working with me, Jeremy. I need 125 to the water hazard. How's that? Is that sand wedge? Which ones are the irons again? All right, let's get you a WinCash code word here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I know Coach Rivera brought a specialist in to talk to his team to address some of the concerns. I didn't know if that was something you had to do here.
No, I'm the specialist.
Just like you're the mask police. You wear so many different hats.
Bunch of hats.
What was your message in that thing?
Well, if you want to go back to normal, get vaccinated. 85% is what we're shooting for. Everybody's tired of meeting out here and eating outside and doing all those things we had to do last year.
Bruce Arians.
Oh, that's that. Yeah.
Yeah, tough to hear the quote. They basically said, you know, do you need a specialist to talk to the players about the vaccine? He said, I'm the specialist. And he said, I told players, if you want to go back to normal, get vaccinated.
Right.
So that's the Bucs side of the story. The different teams are doing different things. Bruce Arians, I'm the specialist.
It's an interesting show today. When you get to call here, we were talking about Eichel, and I said, Jeremy, it does depress me, but it's okay. It comes with the job. But we also had some fun talking about me eating 6 hot dogs and getting violently ill as a kid. And I learned that there's an East Seneca. So overall, I'd say it's a passing grade on the show today. And we brought up something about the CN Tower. So I was trying to figure out why the CN Tower was lit earlier this week in Toronto in Canadians colors. And apparently Greg is going to fill us in on that. Greg, thanks for holding on in Toronto. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Howard. Sure. We in Toronto have 2 favorite teams, the Leafs and whoever's playing the Montreal Canadiens. So
yeah.
What happened was our mayor lost a bet to the Montreal mayor, and that's why the CN Tower was lit up, and we flew the Canadiens flag in City Hall as well. So
was it a one-time deal, or does the tower have to be lit like that, like the rest of the playoffs, or it was just one day?
No. It was a couple of hours.
Okay.
Hours in Toronto history. So.
Nice colors. I mean, you know, from our perspective, red, white, and blue, we're good with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's gone now, Howard.
Okay. It's back to, okay, I got you. So thank you. Thank you, Greg, for filling in the blanks on the CN Tower, because I did think it was kind of odd that they would be, like, putting up Canadians colors in the last city in Canada where you would think that would have shown up. Okay. Thank you. What else did I want to ask you about? Oh, I wanted to remind everybody quickly. We got a couple minutes. Taste of Buffalo tickets go on sale today. The Taste of Buffalo is coming back. However, there will be a limited number of, I want to say it was 5,000 people per session. There will be 4 sessions, 4 different sessions, 5,000 per session. If you want to go, you've got to get tickets in the presale before the event, okay? Tasteofbuffalo.com. I know our sister station has some details, too. If you follow WBEN on Twitter, they've linked some things for this event this morning. But they do go on sale today, and you got to have tickets to get to the event. You pre-purchase the food and drink tickets, but you can also get additional ones when you're there. But you must have the pre-sale tickets to get admitted to the Taste of Buffalo, which is coming up next month. Tasteofbuffalo.com today. So it's nice to see another staple of our summer back, even with some limitations in place.
Yeah, those are big-time number limitations, right? 20,000 total instead of 400,000.
Brian Mazurowski, who is one of the hosts of the morning show over there, did tweet that out. And that's a little bit of a drop from 400,000 to 20,000. So it's progress slowly but surely. My wife asked me yesterday, she said, somebody else. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, they know what I do for a living. Hey, is everything back to normal in sports? I said, well, we're getting there. You know, I mean, there are more fans, the hockey, I don't know, Vegas, again, I don't know if it was the full building, but it sure looked like the lower bowl was packed. Excuse me. So we are getting there. City Field is increasing capacity for Mets games. Of course, the Jays are increasing capacity for their games at Salem Field. And it looks like some of the, not Montreal or the Canadian cities, but in the U.S.-based games, we're seeing some really good Nassau Coliseum the other night, some good, loud, big crowds again. I think it makes you feel good again about watching sports as we see this return. So we're getting there. Not exactly 100% back. We're not 2019 normal. But I think we're getting there, and hopefully everything will be full this fall with football games.
I'm excited to go to the Jays game later. We're going to another Jays game later on once the capacity is up to, what, 80%?
80, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, for the first one, it was fun, and fun to be part of a crowd and fun to watch a baseball game. So the next one will be even more because – what was the capacity in the first couple games? Was it 40%?
I was going to say, I thought 30s
okay,
to 40s.
So more
I
than
could
double
be low.
The crowd.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, essentially, what I think we're going to see, what I think you'll see is you can now, you'll fill the lower bowl. The lower bowl, I believe, is going to be just vaccinated seats or fans. As far as I know, they don't vaccinate seats. So I think they're going to increase the capacity to 80%, that's mostly vaccinated fans in the lower bowl. I know that. I think that's how they're doing it at Citi Field too. Like whatever capacity, let's say the number was 78% overall capacity, 90% of those fans will be vaccinated fans.
Yeah.
So they're getting more people in, but it's vaccinated fans who can sit next to each other, and then the socially distanced crowd, I believe, is going to be upstairs in the upper level. Maybe with the cutouts, or maybe they'll just
they can't.
It's a sponsorship thing. The cardboard cutouts are actually paid for, and it's sponsored. So I guess they have to leave the cutouts in. It's kind of odd. It's not like they're on TV or anything. They're upstairs now, but I guess they have to leave the cutouts in. So they'll scatter in the people with the cutouts upstairs, and if they're not vaccinated.
One quick hockey thing. We talked about this maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, before my vacation, about how ESPN's getting the broadcast. You might have been on vacation. I might have talked about this with Sal.
What? Me on vacation? What are the odds?
And one of the things I was hoping ESPN would do in the future would be have really good former players as analysts.
Right. You know,
let's have skilled players be analysts. And
so Mike Milbury is not on that list.
Just a voice of the shooter, a voice of the skilled player, so it becomes less – you know, pucks at the net, traffic in front, you know, which, of course, like there's a place for all that stuff. Well, I got a good one. P.K. Subban is joining ESPN.
I saw that, yeah.
Is he immediately the most skilled analyst?
Well, isn't Turner using some guy named Gretzky? Whoever. Gretzky signed on with somebody, didn't he? Isn't it Turner?
He did. That's what brought this conversation about, was exactly that. Like, I hope Gretzky speaks to – he has an opportunity to – call the league out when they don't protect stars, right? Like, what's the league doing without Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the league protect these players, you
right,
know?
Right.
It's always brought up how he needed his own protection. He has an opportunity to say, that's dumb.
Yeah, he did have some protection in Edmonton.
Yeah, like, we don't have to do that anymore,
yeah.
You know? Why won't the league protect its players? Or just to speak from the standpoint of skilled players. And, you know, Subban was obviously a greatly skilled player. Great ambassador for the game.
Yeah.
Played with personality. So
yes, and that's where I think on the air he'll bring a personality to that.
Yeah. So very cool.
Yeah, Gretzky's not bad. And hopefully Turner and or ESPN might actually go to the league and say, hey, listen, there's a player you guys have in Edmonton. His name is Connor McDavid. You might have noticed he's actually a Hart Trophy finalist this year. You might want to put them on TV more than maybe once a year. Maybe get them on some national games, like a primetime game. Like, actually show the stars of your league as opposed to just putting on Philadelphia every week or Pittsburgh every week or Washington every week, which, of course, has Ovechkin. Maybe you should do something that the NBC, for whatever reason, hey, you know what, we'll throw the Oilers on NBCSN one night, and it'll be a 9:30 start in the East. So hopefully they put a little bit more of Connor McDavid. And, hey, wherever Jack Eichel ends up, put that team on national TV next season a lot. That'll be exciting.
If you can play.
Assuming you can play, yes. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Yes, we have been talking about Jack Eichel a little bit off of the Friedman comments to the instigators yesterday. If the Sabres trade Jack Eichel this offseason, you will... I leave the sentence open for you to finish. Whatever else you want to talk about, that's fine too. There's something else in the world of sports you want to bring up. Cool. Hey, a little soccer talk coming up top of the hour with our buddy Nicholas Mendola. We're excited about that. And, you know, the latest on what's going on in Green Bay. There's a story out with some comments from James Jones about maybe giving a little more insight as to why Aaron Rodgers has some problems with the Packers. It isn't necessarily the GM. It's crazy. Anyway, 9:30, we'll get in the latest on that with Mark Daniels, WNFL, WNFL radio in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's coming up too. And we have another win cash code word to give out in the next hour. Stay tuned for that on WGR.
Ooh. So next week, we're both in all week next week, and the Bills have mini camp all week next week, right?
Yes.
Unless
Tuesday,
they cancel it.
Which they could. Some teams have done that.
Let's hope they don't.
No, I'd rather they have mini camp. So actually, Sal can talk about real, well, you know what I'm saying, real football. Closer to real football than OTA football. Mm-hmm. And everybody would have to be there too, supposedly. Yeah, I hope there's mini. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we'll see. A number of teams have decided to either just kind of give their players the time off. Some saying we got the work in, whatever. A few teams have done that. The Niners scrapped camp because they've lost a couple guys to injuries in the OTAs, so they don't even want to have a mini camp. But I hope the Bills have one next week because everybody has to be in attendance, and maybe there'll be something closer to actual football. I just need something to tie me over until late January. And we still don't have the actual dates announced for training camp, right?
No, not yet.
Probably late July, like 20 last few days of July, I would assume. Hey, quick thing. Big thing going on here at work. Our company is gradually allowing staff to come back in. So like the sales department, nobody's been here since March of 2020. I just realized the main reason why was just pointed out to me by Stephanie Dulski, one of our salespeople here. The reason why you want people back is not just to see people again and
cookies
coworkers.
And donuts.
Yeah, there's some delicious chocolate chip cookies in the break room. Did I get too excited for that? Was that?
Hit them up.
Oh, and you know what, Jeremy? They're not. I love chocolate chip cookies. They're my favorite cookie. But you got to get them when they're soft and chewy. You know, I don't like the hard chocolate. Those you have to dip in milk to soften up. When they're nice, soft, even when they're warm, too, even better. But soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies are out of this world.
Still regularly dipping your chocolate chip cookies in milk?
Not regularly, but on occasion I will do it, yes.
You've done it this calendar year?
No, I don't think so. I don't typically have them in the house because if they're there, I'll just eat them. But I will. Like, if we bought a bag of Schmips or Schmoy, those I would dip in milk, yes.
Okay.
Get a little mug of milk. Dip it in. Sometimes the cookie breaks off and falls apart. So
yeah,
when you drink
news,
the milk at the
end.
Yeah, well, then you drink the milk at the end when you're done, then you get the cookie debris.
This little revelation from you is just more evidence that you do eat off the kids' menu. I mean, this is.
The kids' menu is more fun than the adult menu. Why not?
Well, you like to dip them in milk. I like to freeze chocolate chip cookies and eat them when they're frozen.
I've known people who do that. I'm not.
Great.
I'm not. I don't. Yeah, I'm not. Like I said, when they are like just out of the, maybe shortly after coming out of the oven, and they're nice and warm and soft and chewy and gooey, that's my favorite chocolate chip cookie.
That is a good window, yeah.
Yeah, I do like that. Freezing, huh? When we get back, a little soccer talk. You want to tease this since Nick's up next, right?
We've got a Euro preview.
Euro preview.
One quick thing about the Seattle hockey team you may not have known. That's right, yeah, about what they're allowed to do. Because there's a question. I hadn't thought about it. And Pierre LeBrun has found the answer on how Seattle's offseason will work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.